Future Media and UN Namibia support the fight against COVID-19. This interview is with a medical expert on some of the most common questions about COVID-19 and vaccines.
This is Christine Fenter for Future Media, and today I am speaking to Dr. Vaya Dashirua. He is a specialist neurologist practicing here in Windhoek. So you mentioned something that a lot of people that are skeptical or hesitant about the vaccine actually say, and that is, I have no idea what I am putting in my body. So let's talk about vaccination and inflammation at this point. The big problem with COVID-19 is your body's immune response and that cytokine storm, that inflammation response that it causes where it just starts breaking itself down. So does getting vaccinated lower your risk of severe inflammation? If we don't have scientific evidence to say something like ivermectin can help treat or prevent COVID-19, what does the scientific evidence, the empirical evidence say about vaccination and inflammation?
Yes, the vaccination has been shown to reduce the occurrence of severe COVID-19 infection. We do know that most patients who have severe infection, as you rightly mentioned, is largely due to the inflammatory response that actually causes injury to the body, and not so much per se the viral infection itself. If you look at our treatment algorithms that we have for COVID-19 currently, it's largely on supportive care in terms of oxygen plus then potent anti-inflammatory drugs called corticosteroids that we use. And these are the mainstay of treating COVID. Coming back to the vaccine, it makes sense that if you have an intervention that can reduce your risk of having severe infection, it just makes sense that one would want then to utilize that intervention. The argument has always been, yeah, but what, I might still get sick, so why would I get the vaccine? That doesn't quite hold solid water, if you ask me, because it's always important to keep in mind that, number one, vaccination has never guaranteed 100% coverage of any disease, number one. Number two, the intervention, which is a vaccination, reduces your risk of having or acquiring severe COVID disease. And as we know, COVID disease severity is largely due to the immune reaction. And so it just makes sense to get yourself vaccinated in order to prevent yourself, number one, from getting COVID-19 in the first place. Number two, from getting severe disease, which is where our major problem lies, especially with long-term effects, disability, healthcare resource overutilization, and obviously mortality.
You mentioned long-term effects. It seems like vaccines can also help people that have had COVID-19, but are these long haulers, that they have these symptoms that they just can't seem to shake. You know, the fatigue, the brain fog, loss of smell, loss of taste for months on end. That it does seem like some people are reporting that after getting the vaccines, both doses, they actually have gotten rid of some of these long haul symptoms. Would that make sense, or do you know whether there's anything in that?
Yes, absolutely. So whether it's a direct effect of the vaccination per se that helps patients recover, or whether it's an effect of sort of the natural evolution of the illness itself, remains to be seen. However, one can categorically state, though, that vaccination does actually reduce the incidence and the prevalence of long COVID or post-COVID syndrome. The evidence is still pending, if one can call it that, in terms of the exact mechanism of why these patients recover. The primary purpose of the vaccine is to reduce severe disease, to reduce the incidence of post-COVID syndrome as well. And there is strong evidence to suggest that it does.
And I think that's a very important thing that you said, that, you know, a lot of people say, yeah, but, you know, we don't know so much about this vaccine. We don't know so much about these medicines. And that is true to an extent. Yes, we are still learning. Our treatments are still evolving. Vaccines are evolving with the virus, which is evolving. But it's not that we don't know in the medical field that certain things are working or not. That's not a guess whether they're working. The statistics, the evidence is there that vaccines do work. It's just how certain things work, how certain treatments work, why they work, which will take us more time to figure out. But you have a pretty good idea of the fact that it does work and an idea of how it could be working, that mechanism that you mentioned.
Yes. And I think that has always been a challenge, especially when communicating sort of new treatments, et cetera, to lay people, that oftentimes the underlying mechanism of some of our treatments may not be completely elucidated and sort of defined in detail. But that becomes secondary, because ultimately the purpose of, at least our purpose, is to help people get better and to prevent disease. And as long as you can show scientifically that there's strong evidence that your intervention works, then the argument of the actual mechanism underlying it becomes secondary and on almost a moot point for the end user.
I always take these things also back to mental health, you know, conditions like bipolar disorder. You know, epileptic medicines are often prescribed to people with bipolar disorder. We don't know what causes bipolar disorder. We've got some good ideas, but actually we don't know. And we don't know entirely 100% to a T why these medicines work, but we've got a pretty good idea of the mechanism. It doesn't mean it doesn't work, because the proof is there that it does.
Absolutely. And I think that's what we should focus on. And does the thing work? And yeah, and leave the arguments or the precise mechanism to the Nobel laureates.
Okay, so going back to more common neurological effects of COVID-19, like loss of sense of smell or taste, I have heard that apparently you can train your brain into getting those senses back. For instance, if you sniff Vicks or eucalyptus oil every day, eventually it's going to help your brain realize, ooh, I'm smelling something, and it's going to come back. Is there any truth to this? Is there anything that long haulers can do to be able to taste the food again?
Sadly not. I think there's no robust evidence to suggest that exposing the nasal mucosa to a stimulus will somehow make it recover quicker. And in all likelihood, what's happening with these long haulers, as we call them, who then recover, is just, it is in all likelihood the natural evolution of the recovery, and it had nothing to do with the intervention itself. The underlying mechanism of the loss of smell is the invasion of the virus in the nasal mucosa, which causes direct injury. I wouldn't advise you to keep sniffing irritants the whole time. I don't think that there's any sound scientific evidence to suggest that helps recovery quicker.
Thank you very much. If only it was that easy. Thank you very much. Is there anything that you would like to add?
I think one cannot overemphasize the utility of vaccination, and I think I will take any opportunity I can to advocate for that. Not to forget that our behavior is probably one of the biggest drivers for the poor control and the current wave that we're in. And then the unproven treatments remain dangerous, and I would again advocate for the public to be cautious and to be cognizant of the source of the information that they are utilizing in their decision-making tree. Because there are thousands of remedies out there that everybody's got. Take a bit of garlic, eat this, chew this root, etc. None of this has been proven to really work. And potentially, you can have unwanted toxic effects that you may not have been able to predict.
Thank you so much, Doctor. I really appreciate your time. This has been Dr. Vaya Dashirua speaking to Christine Fainter for Future Media.
This interview is part of the Future Media and UN Namibia COVID-19 awareness campaign. To listen to all the interviews and content we've done, visit the podcast page on futuremedia.com.na.